So Dennis, we often hear you talk about us being resilient, but what do you actually mean? What do you want me to actually do? And that's a great question. Hi everybody again, it's Dennis Hoiberg, the Resilience Whisperer. I was asked during the week when I was sitting down with a client about resilience strategies, and they said to me as a family, what do you actually mean, Dennis? What do you actually want us to do? So I thought it'd be worthwhile, just for the next 20 minutes or so, putting down my thoughts on the strategies that you need to develop your own resilience. What are the behaviours and what are the things that I would recommend you do? In my practice, I've got a very simple approach that I use with my clients on this topic of resilience. I call it my resilience plan, obviously, and so it's the planks of resilience. And I think for people to actually act in a resilient manner, there are five areas that people need to focus on. They are the spiritual, they are the medical, they're the connectivity, the physical, and the mental. So what I thought I'd do is just give you some of my thoughts, give you some of my stories about what I would encourage people to actually do to be resilient. The first area of your life you need to focus on, I think, is the spiritual plank. Now listen, before you start to panic, I'm not going to go all churchy on you, but what I am going to talk about is the importance of spirituality. When I first started talking about resilience, spirituality was always the last thing I used to speak about. And I'm not quite sure whether it was because I was reluctant to talk about it or I didn't really believe in its value in terms of our resilience. But the more work I do in this space of resilience, I think the key strategy or the key technique, the key area that we need to focus on is this sense of spirituality. So I want to ask you, in terms of your own resilience and your own resilience strategies, what do you believe in? What are your basic values? What are your basic beliefs? What are your basic needs? And look, I've got to say, spirituality is probably, in this instance, more important than the religiousness, if there is such a word. But it's about what your belief is. And the more I work in this space, and anyone who's ever heard me talk or work with me would understand the emphasis I put on this concept of understanding your purpose, understanding the why you do what you do. I can tell you many stories of people from all around the world I worked in, South Africa, North America, Vietnam, and it's through Australia, New Zealand. Those people have got a strong sense of purpose about why they do what they do. The people who have the high level of spirituality will get through anything in life, you know. So the part of the spirituality bit is getting you to start thinking about why do you do what you do? What are your basic values? What are your basic beliefs? And out of those beliefs, what are those habits that you do? What are those things that you do to reinforce your spirituality? My mum used to always talk about this sense of spirituality as being almost her grounding point. And we were always taught as kids of the importance of having a mantra. Now, we never used to call it that, of course, but we used to have these little sayings, and I always remember my mum doing the serenity prayer, you know, the stuff about focusing on the stuff I can control, don't worry about the stuff I can't control, and having the wisdom to know the difference. And when you think about all the research we've done on spirituality and resilience and well-being, isn't that one of the basic techniques? Focus on what you can control and don't worry about what you can't control. Accept it. So in terms of this spirituality bit, what I want to ask you is, what do you believe in? How clear are those beliefs for you? How much time have you spent thinking about your own values? Dr. Russ Harris, that is, does some great work in his books, The Happiness Trap, The Confidence Gap, and The Reality Slap, about understanding what your values are. And he's done some great work on his website. So maybe it's worthwhile doing a Google search on Dr. Russ Harris and getting on his website. It's a great website he's got, and I'd recommend you get onto that. And there are some self-help strategies to identify your own values. So the first thing I would tell you to do in terms of what do I need to do to be resilient, it's about understanding your own values and having a very strong strategy around your spirituality, okay? And how you want to define that spirituality is entirely up to you. What label you want to put on it, it doesn't matter to me, but what it does matter is that you do something. The next plank that I think people need to focus on in terms of being resilient is your medical plank. Those of you who are listening to me, I want to ask you a question, and the question is this. Do you believe your health is your most important asset? Many of us would say yes, and can I give you a personal tip? The older you get, the more you realise that. And if you do think your health is your most important asset, do you have a plan to protect it? And that means taking responsibility for seeing your doctor and your dentist just as a checkup. And being proactive about our health. Do you understand your genetic makeup? What hereditary issues you might picked out from your parents? Understanding their health history. The number of people I know who have got no idea of their medical history and unfortunately have got no interest in knowing their medical history is outstanding. One of the things the AMA will often tell us is one of their frustrations is that when doctors have newer clients, they'll ask two questions. One is, what's your Medicare number, which most of us do know, and then what's your medical history? Many people, especially the blokes, would just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, all right then. So understand what your medical history is and take responsibility for your medical conditions. And I have a saying when I talk about this medical plank, no news is never good news. Okay, so you need to at least understand if there are any medical issues you have and have a strategy to be able to deal with it. But the other thing I've learned about the medical plank is this. We need to be holistic. We need to see more than just our traditional Western approaches to medicine. Embrace the Eastern approaches. Taking a holistic view about not only the what we've been traditionally told, but what other options are there out there? I think there has been a bit of a mindset on the Western perspective about this medical plank, and that is, if you're struggling, what we're going to do is have some pharmaceutical solution, which ultimately might be supported by some psychological solution. And then if you ever meet a good psychologist or psychiatrist, I think one of the things that the first thing they tell us is to do some self-help. I think with this medical plank, it's about turning that around. What I'm keen to do in terms of building people's resilience and giving them strategies to build their resilience is to flip that on its head. I think we need to give people self-help strategies, first of all, supported by sometimes psychological support, and then if need be, to embrace pharmaceutical solutions. But the pharmaceutical solution is not necessarily the best solution. As a long-term strategy. Certainly to keep you safe, to make sure you're well, to help you in your recovery, pharmaceutical solutions are a legitimate and important part of the strategy, but it can't be long-term. Let's think broadly about the medical solution for you. And this goes back to an earlier point. Not only do I think we need to embrace the Western approaches, we need to be broader in our views and look at alternative ways of looking after our health. And that goes into almost Eastern philosophies. We need to broaden our minds and start to embrace stuff like meditation, like even yoga, like the type of nutrition that we have, the types of things we eat, the types of things we drink. There's no need for all these sugar-based drinks that are so popular nowadays. Drink water, which is a point I'm going to talk about later on. Understand your gut health. Understand our first brain. We are what we eat, is the old saying, you know, so start to embrace that as part of our health strategies. Be aware of probiotics and prebiotics and embrace them as part of your strategy. Think about whether massaging from a remedial perspective is a good strategy. Think about the thing that I'm very particularly interested in is reflexology. I think there's a lot of that type of stuff, and those types of things have got a lot of real benefit. The next plank, I think, is our connectivity plank. And I want to ask you a question. How well are you connected with your world? Again, for the work I've done, those people who have got a high sense or a strong sense of connectivity with their world is, I think, in a very good place. And I think connectivity goes to four areas. It goes to your family, it goes to your social environment, it goes to your workplace, and also goes to your broader community. Let's go through each of those in some detail and just answer your own questions about whether you have a strategy around each of these things. Look, family connectivity is important. There's an old saying that blood is thicker than water, and I'm sure that's correct. But understand that as we go through life, sometimes family connectivity is not as strong as what it should be. We go to live in other parts of the world. Things happen in families that sometimes fracture those relationships. And sometimes family, whilst they are very important to us, can't be maintained the same way as we would ideally like them to be. If you want to have a strong family connectivity, you've got to work at it. As my kids would say to me, build a bridge and get over it if there's been issues within the family, if it's of that value to you. But the thing I've recognised when I've travelled through my life, and I've travelled a bit and lived in various places, is that the definition of family actually changes. Your blood family may not be as important to you as your community family, if that makes sense, you know. I can go to probably about 3 or 4 countries in this world and feel welcomed by people who, I guess, have shared values, shared interests, probably more so than some place in Australia, do you know. But it's about the energy that are put in those relationships. But I can't get away from the fact that family connectivity is really important, especially when you're going through tough times. The next level of connectivity, I think, is your social connectivity. And the old saying is, your vibe attracts your tribe. Again, I have a saying that I keep going back to when people are struggling, and that is, look around at who you're dealing with. Don't hang with dickheads and don't be a dickhead. Who are the voices in your head? Are they supporting you? Are they encouraging you? Are they pushing you? Or are they taking you down? Your vibe attracts your tribe. What type of vibe are you sending out to people? And is that the type of vibe that you want to have around you? Because if it isn't, change it. The first thing about social connectivity, I think, is the challenge of looking at ourselves and saying, am I the type of person that people would want to hang around with? And if I'm not, hey, let's change it. The next level of connectivity in terms of doing something to make yourself resilient is workplace resilience and workplace connectivity. You must have strong relationships in the workplace. And that doesn't mean you have to like each other, but certainly have to work with each other and respect each other. And I always reckon that, you know, sometimes your workmates are the ones who are most likely to help you through your really tough times, because they probably are going through the same types of things that you're going through in terms of sales achievement, in terms of, you know, the vibe of work, the monotony of work and all that type of stuff. So what type of workplace do you have? Now, there is no workplace in Australia that is social or as interactive as they were 20 years ago. And can I say to you, living through those workplaces 20 years ago, that's a bloody good thing. But I think things like workplace communication, I think those things like toolbox meetings, I think those planning sessions, whilst they may not get into the personal relationships, build workplace relationships, and those workplace relationships are the ones that will get you through some tough times. So how connected are you with your workplace? And if you're not connected, why don't you talk to your workmates, your team leaders and all those type of people, and build some level of connectivity? The next level of connectivity is your community connectivity. And can I ask you to do something right now? If you're not connected with your community, please go away and develop some level of connectivity. There is so much research that we know from all around the world that being involved with community is one of those key strategies for being resilient. And there are many ways for us to be involved with community. We can do things like, you know, parents and citizens, sporting groups, volunteer. We know one of the benefits of volunteering is that there's greater benefit for the person who volunteers than the one who receives the benefit of those volunteers. So get yourself involved. Get yourself involved with sporting groups. Get yourself involved with those environments that you can serve. There's plenty. There's Rotary. There's Apex groups. There's Meals on Wheels. We know through research, by the way, and I often speak about this, that one of the best things you can do, you know, is play lawn bowls. Because you're outside in the sun, you're communicating, there's a level of competition, but anyone can play the game. You're never more than 100 metres from a bar and 80 metres from a toilet. So it meets every requirement for you to be connected in the most positive sense. The next level of resilience, or the next plank of resilience, is that of your physical plank. And this is the stuff that a lot of us already know. It's the stuff about our nonverbal communication. Have you ever noticed that when things are a bit tough in the world, one of the things that we tend to do is almost go into the fetal position in our nonverbals. Stand up tall, take the warrior approach. Russ Harris, in his books, The Confidence Gap, talks a lot about the nonverbal communication. What message are you sending out to the world? But the physical bit is also about exercise. It's about the stuff that we already know about, you know, getting out in the sun, going for a walk. What are you eating? What are you drinking? How much are you sleeping? You know, it's about your physical environment. It's about the stuff that you do to get yourself through the day. It's the movement during the day. And again, I'd reckon most people would understand that the movement is a beautiful thing. It gets us out, gets us active, makes us feel good about ourselves. The physical side is also about our nutrition, of course, what we eat. I talk a lot about sugar. You hear a lot about sugar. We know enough about sugar that we know sugar is no good for ourselves. Excessive sugar, that is. You know, it's stuff we find in those drinks, even those sporting drinks, you know, the social drinks. Drink water. Walk 10,000 steps a day. Set goals for yourself. Change your neuro pathways. Get out in the sun. Be physical. Get a pet. Because we know pets give unconditional love. They're always happy to see you. They're willing to walk with you. They want exercise. They're good companionship. I'm not only talking dogs, of course, not cats. Cats shouldn't be there. No, I'm only joking about cats. You know, I go to my mates' places and they've got cats and dogs. And I say, where's your dog? And they're all at the back there chasing stuff. I say, where's your cat? No, in front of the fire. Don't sit there. That's where the cat sits. And you roll your eyes. But they're good companionship, aren't they? So far, the four planks are the spiritual plank, the medical plank, the connectivity plank, and the physical plank. The last plank, folks, is your mental plank. Use it or lose it. We've got to use our brain. We know enough about the work about the elasticity of the brain. It says is that our brain needs to be challenged, needs to be practiced. Our brain is not stable. It's quite energetic. It needs to be challenged. And the way we challenge our brain is through crosswords, Sudoku. My mum used to know to the day she died, she could say the alphabet backwards, X, Y, Z, Z or A. She could say that backwards without fault. Goodness knows why and how and why she learnt that skill, but it was a skill that kept her brain active. Learn a new language, exercise. Boxing is really good for the mental capacity, do you know, because there's a lot of movement. You just don't want to be hit too much in the head. So what's your strategy around your mental capacity? Use it or lose it. Learn languages. Listen to music. Do crosswords. Do all those types of things. Read. Really challenge that brain of yours. Debate. You know, engage with conversation. Engage with people who have different views to you. It's all about challenging that brain and keeping that brain of yours active. So look, there's five areas that I would like people to focus on in terms of their own resilience. The spiritual plank, the medical plank, the connectivity plank, the physical plank, and the mental plank. And I reckon that every now and then you need to just stop and say, well, of all those planks, what are the subsections? And this stuff is on our website. And how am I going against each of those subsections? The people who use this planks of resilience well typically review themselves twice a year. Because we need to keep challenging ourselves and we need to not get too lazy or complacent in our own behaviours and our own strategies. So, folks, I hope that's given you some clues about answering your question, what do you actually want me to do to be resilient? Focus on the spiritual, the medical, the connectivity, the physical, and the mental. Hey, hope this has been some value to you. This is Dennis Hoiberg, the Resilience Whisperer. Look after yourself, look after your family, look after your community, and look after your world. Talk to you next time. See ya.